Alt NPR.
The following is an installment of Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org.
A few weeks ago, my friends and I caught a show at this performance space in my neighborhood. We had no idea of what we were in for, but as soon as the band picked up its instruments, we knew it was going to be special. Three horn players, a drummer, and a guitarist who's also the crooner. The music comes at you from all directions, everywhere and nowhere, the faraway past and the distant future. Sitting in the front row, we were blown away.
I think what the audience wants is transformation, and to come into the show and to receive an explosion, an overpowering experience of being told a story. And I think people will be able to listen to the music of The Sway Machinery and hear that we're telling a story they need to be aware of and that where they can learn a lot from.
That's Jeremiah Lockwood, guitarist, singer, and storyteller for the band The Sway Machinery. I met up with him in his Brooklyn studio, where he graciously took some time out to talk to me about his music.
You know, it's kind of embarrassing for me when people ask me what kind of music I play, because, you know, it's like, well, do you want the long story or the short story? It's complicated, you know. It's a lot of different things at once. It's an attempt to delve into and create personal mythology, create a sound of the world where I feel that I come from, or a world where what I am is not something which is bizarre and strange, but which is just a cultural phenomenon that a lot of people probably can relate to and will feel to be archetypal and make sense and will tell their story for them.
The primary storytelling archetype for The Sway Machinery is the Jewish cantor. For Jeremiah Lockwood, cantorial music is much more than the music of the synagogue.
For me, when I think of cantorial music, I'm thinking specifically of the golden age of cantorial music in the pre-war America and in Eastern Europe, when Eastern European immigrants were coming over with an intact cultural knowledge about who they were, what their spiritual center was, what their culture was, what sounds they were familiar with and that resonated with them culturally. And the cantor was someone who was a spokesperson, both in terms of that he was leading the praying in the synagogue, but also in terms of that he could be like a lightning rod galvanizing all of these different strands of culture together into a performance that was going to be cathartic and engaging and truth-telling for the whole congregation. And these cantors, they were, you know, oftentimes like charismatic, you know, performers who were, you know, people would buy their records. They sold many, many records, and they would do sold-out concerts. And when they did performances for, let's say, like a Rosh Hashanah with a great cantor singing, people would be coming there and weeping and, you know, falling on the ground. And it would be this amazing, you know, aesthetic, spiritual experience. My grandfather, cantor Jacob Konigsberg, is of this generation of star chazans, of the golden age of chazanis. Chazanis is the Jewish word that means cantorial music. And he was making records, he was doing shows around the country. He had a string of prestigious cantorial positions at huge synagogues in different cities in America. And he was a brilliant artist. When you hear him sing, you hear the voice of history and also the voice of one soul being strong in itself and telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to draw upon that the cantor as, like, as spokesman, as storyteller. That's the concept of cantor that I'm going for. Because there's still cantorial music in American synagogues and in synagogues around the world, but it tends to be in a very degraded state and to be on a much lower aesthetic level. With my singing, I am both using the kind of technical apparatus that I've learned from my grandfather in terms of the voice as in terms of vocal artistry, but essentially I'm, you know, more of a primitivist, and I'm also very influenced by blues. You know, that's my music that I love, that I've been playing, you know, since I was a kid, the first thing that made me want to be a musician. So I am trying to, you know, have a vocal style that's true to who I am, and so I'll do stretches where I'm 100% in like this kind of like a cantorial style, and then all of a sudden there'll come out a screech or a wail that's like, it's something I can't really control almost, it's just, it's what's in me and it's gonna come out.
Another archetype one hears in the music of the Sway Machinery is the city of New York. Jeremiah grew up in Manhattan, and he says the city has been speaking to him his whole life.
New York City is the place on Earth where there's connection between man and God, like very few other places. It's sort of like Jerusalem was in ancient times. And the reason for this is because here in New York City, you can be both of the past and of the present at the same time, and you can also embrace all nations at the same time. Like, I don't know of any other place in the world that's parallel to that. And I've been fed by the springs from many, many different lands, you know, coming up from under the ground to here. And they've been telling me the stories all my life. Different people, you know, strangers on the street, homeless people, musicians playing their songs out on the street, preachers in Times Square, foreign tourists who come to this country and speak to you in languages you don't hardly understand, and I've been learning from all of them all my life.
Jeremiah Lockwood formed the Sway Machinery as a teenager with his friends Tomar Tsur on drums and Sean Coopage on bass. When Sean left the band last year, Jeremiah decided that it was time to push his music in a new direction, so he approached three horn players that he knew.
I already knew Stuart Bogie, tenor saxophone player, and I started working around that time in other projects with Colin Stetson, bass saxophonist, and with Jordan McLean, trumpet player, and I was like, okay, I'm going to get these guys, and we're going to start a new sound, and we're going to play Chazantes, and it's going to be old-time, futuristic, like nobody ever heard before.
The horn players, Jordan, Colin, and Stuart, all play together in the Antibolus Orchestra, a large Brooklyn Afrobeat collective that's performed all over the world. I spoke with Stuart Bogie, the tenor sax player, about what it's like to play the music of the Sway Machinery.
It's in a way, it's like I had the best seat in the house to watch Jeremiah. And also, it's an open invitation to feel music and life and spirituality collide as deeply as I can.
The music of the Sway Machinery may be rooted in specific religious traditions, but it branches out in many spiritual directions. For Stuart Bogie, who himself is not Jewish, there is a transcendent openness to the music.
Well, Jeremiah will tell us what the songs are about, and from then we just feel the meaning, because I don't speak Hebrew, and I don't speak any kind of Ashkenazi dialects, and I don't speak, what's that other one, Aramaic. I haven't picked that one up yet. I haven't even seen the Mel Gibson movie, but all I know is the shit's on fire, and it feels fantastic, and I don't know, he could be speaking in tongues. Probably is, for all I know, but it's beautiful. Basically, the power of God, or the unnameable, or whatever we're talking about, is more powerful than language. It's more powerful than anything we know. It's more powerful than anything we could even think of. So it's gonna if you open your heart to that mysterious power, it's gonna shine through every thought, every conscious resistance that you have, everything at all. So it goes back to the challenge of just opening your heart.
Sway Machinery is hard at work, recording songs for an album they hope to release soon. They also perform regularly in New York City, and you can always find them on the internet.
Alt, alt, alt.
Alt, alt.